Tonight, I would like to talk about the new world morality. And I got the idea to the title from a talk that Martinus gave here in this very lecture hall in 1975. At that time, Martinus was 85 years old, and it was in June, and he welcomed all the guests in Martinus Center on the very first day. And this lecture has been published in Danish Cosmos, number 7, 2004. And I guess that also many of you have heard the question, what are you doing in Martinus Center, Clint? Why are you taking holidays in Martinus Center, Clint? What is it all about? What is Martinus cosmology about? And some people find it difficult to answer. What shall I say? What is Martinus cosmology about? What is Martinus Center for a kind of center? And in this lecture, welcome to Clint in 1975, he said, actually, what we are working with here is the world morality. And I found, oh, that was really big words. That here in Martinus Center, at the Institute, when we are working with Martinus cosmology, Martinus spiritual science, or the Third Testament, actually, we are working with a new world morality. And Martinus also mentioned in this welcome lecture a little bit about Martinus Center. And there is a phrase that I cannot forget. He said, the purpose with Martinus Center is to teach people to look upon life with God's eyes. And how is God looking upon life? Well, God is rather self-confident and rather satisfied with himself, because when God created the world in 6 days, on the seventh day, he said, look, everything is very good. So the whole universe is created in the best possible way. There is something that is very unpleasant, but in his analysis, Martinus shows that it has a good purpose. In the first place, it's necessary with contrasts in order to be able to experience life. If you have not been unhappy, you wouldn't know that you are happy. So the contrasts are necessary. But also, if you have a lot of troubles, sufferings, and you are ill and so on, all these unpleasant things has a purpose, and that is to develop your feelings and your compassion. And that's the same as humanity. Then you become humane and a loving person. So it's, I think there was a fantastic word. What we are trying to learn here in Martinus Center, what we are trying to learn from the cosmology, that is that everything is very good. And Martinus in this lecture also talked about the structure, how we should work together, the collaboration, when he would pass on to the spiritual plane. He was 85 years old, and he knew that he would not have that many years left on the physical plane. And then he also said that at the board meetings, he tried to explain to the board members how it should go on, or the members of the council. Martinus, he preferred the word council. And all these talks were taped. But in a way, also the collaboration within all collaborators here in the center is also based on a new world culture, or based on a new world morality. But of course, the kernel in it is the Christ morality. So in a way, there is not so much new in it. But one of the new things is that once Christianity was a world religion, you speak about different world religions, but Martinus had a very interesting notion. He said, when eternity enters into Christianity, it turns into a science, the science of life. And that is what it is true, all the things that Jesus said. Martinus said, I cannot put it better. what is in our Lord's Prayer or the Sermon on the Mountain. I cannot make that any better. The words are so ingenious formulated. But Martinus said, they are not argued. You cannot get a logical reason. Why is it the truth? And then Martinus felt that his job was to turn Christianity into a spiritual science, which means that the Christianity should be intellectualized. And that was Martinus' work. And I think it's so simple and so clear when he says, when eternity enters Christianity, it turns from a religion into a world science. Because if you only have one life, the life is illogical, unjust, and unloving. But if eternity, you have a lot of reincarnations, the law of karma, and so on, then the life is logical. It's just, and it is an expression of love. So that is the backbone in the whole cosmology. And for that reason, Martinus also called his work the eternal world picture. It is this viewpoint, the eternity, that makes it into a science. And Martinus said that here in the center, we also had the chance to work on the new world culture. A new world culture shall spread all over the planet Earth. And of course, the basis of this new world culture will be the new world morality. In some weeks later, on his birthday in August, when Martinus was 85 years old, he gave a talk. And this talk was also taped, and it appeared 1 year later in the Danish Cosmos, number 7. 2005. And then Martinus, at the end of his lecture, he asked, who will be the first people here on Earth to get cosmic glimpses? After artists, inventors, scientists, they can become very inspired in their happy moments. But that is a kind of intuition, but at a higher level you can get pure intuition and you can get some cosmic glimpses where you really get a big knowledge. There was a British-Canadian doctor, Richard Maurice Buck, who had a cosmic glimpse in 1800 and something, and in 1902 he published a book, Cosmic Consciousness. And it has been a kind of a classical book within the theme cosmic glimpses. He called it cosmic consciousness, but some of his examples were what Martinus would call cosmic glimpses. But these are the highest experiences that you can get. And he described, Richard Maurice Buck described it in the same way as Martinus. In the first place, it is a light experience. You see a light, or rather you see a fire. Martinus even wrote about Moses that he saw this bush on fire. But Martinus claims that if you had examined the bush afterwards, you would see it had not been burned. It was a subjective fire. It for your eyes, it was a fire, but it is not a physical burning fire. And then you get a moral elevation. You feel so happy and so blissful. And in the third place, you also can get a knowledge that you cannot get elsewhere. He said, Maurice Buck, that he got knowledge that would have taken him years to get by studies. And he also got a knowledge that he couldn't get from studies. And that is also what Martinus says is very characteristic about cosmic glimpses. You can get the highest knowledge about life. And then normally you also feel, I am immortal. I am an eternal living being. And that is so important to have had such an experience with your own senses. From that point in your life, you don't fear death because you are convinced, you know it by experience, self-experience, that life is eternal. And then you can also experience the consciousness of God, because God is the living universe. God is the living cosmos. To get cosmic consciousness is to be conscious to become conscious about the universe, but that's also to become conscious about God. And God is all loving, and God sees that everything is very good. So this is some of the highest experiences you can get. Then Martinus also explains you can experience different principles. You can experience cosmic principle, natural laws. You can experience the law of karma, the law of reincarnation. You can also, on the wings of intuition, go down into microcosmos and experience that organs, cells, molecules, atoms, electrons are living beings, and you can go further down in microcosmos. In a cosmic glimpse, you also typically can experience the planet Earth is a living being, the solar system is a living being, the galaxy is a living being, groups of galaxies. Oh, that was a parenthesis, because Martinus asked the question, who will be the first to get cosmic glimpses? Yes, in order to explain that, Martinus said, then I have to divide mankind into three different groups. The first groups are people who are willing to kill other people in their national defense. They want an army. They're willing to go to war. And they are also eating meat and so on. So many people think, I have the right to kill other people if my country is attacked. And a lot of people, for them, the highest ideal is to die for their religion or to die for their country. So they're willing to go into battle and kill. And Martinus says, of course, that will give a rather tough karma. They will get a very rough karma. So one third, they would get this rough karma. Then there was number two, and that is people. They are rather humane. They don't want to go into war. They are kind of pacifists. But they can still eat meat. They can smoke tobacco. They can drink alcohol and so on. But that's not healthy for the organism. And it's also poisons in a way for the organs. So that also create a somewhat bad karma. So they will also have a kind of a difficult karma, but of course not as a punishment. These are necessary experiences in order to become a Christ being. All the unpleasant karma we get has the purpose to transform us into Christ beings. So there is a divine purpose behind all suffering, behind all unpleasant karma. But then Martinus comes to the last third, the people who will be the first to get cosmic glimpses. And he says, my analysis could be read as a philosophy. You could study Spinoza, Immanuel Kant, Descartes. You can study the different philosophers, and maybe that doesn't have any influence on your private life. And then it's just a sort of hobby or an interest. And you can also study Martinus' analysis. Oh, that was quite interesting theories. But if these thoughts do not have any influence on your private life, the analysis is more or less worthless, according to Martinus. The analysis of Martinus, they really have their importance when you put them into practice in your everyday life. Then they become very important. And once there was a lady who was very, very interested in Martinus' analysis. And she was very fond of Martinus' analysis. So she was afraid of losing the interest for the cosmology. And then she was a little bit unquiet and asked Martinus, could it happen that I would lose my interest for your analysis? Then she said, no, if you are interested in putting the analysis into practical life, you will never lose the interest for Martinus' cosmology. And I have, once there were some people from, I guess it was Transcendental Meditation, TM, and they talked to some Martinus people, and they had just seen in their organization, people were very interested in meditation for some years, but then they left the interest and went on. But to him, it was very interesting to talk to people here in Martinus Center, Clint, even old people. They were still interested in Martinus cosmology. So it seems as if when you start to get interested in Martinus cosmology, it can become a lifelong interest. You can't sort of not get rid of the cosmology. Sometimes you can get rid of a disease and some bacteria, but it's more difficult to get rid of the cosmology. And that is when you are interested in putting the analysis into practice, to live according to the analysis. And then they have a very big importance. And that's what we are trying here in Martinus Center Klintz, together with other interested people, and you can do it in your own private life. And then maybe you started the book, The Ideal Food, and you feel that, yes, yeah, I wouldn't like to kill animals in order to have my food. And then you put the analysis into practice, maybe, and you become a vegetarian. Maybe you stop smoking because that is also a pollution of your lungs, a pollution of the whole body. That is not to practice neighborly love to your microcosmos. And maybe you stop to drink alcohol and live generally in a more healthy way. And Martinus also talks very much about the influence of the thoughts upon the health. In another article, which has the title, Man and His Destiny, Man and His Destiny, or Man and His Fate. And there Martinus writes that Martinus create his karma, create his fate in three big areas. We create karma in our relation with other human beings, in our relation to the animals, and in the relation to our micro-individuals. And there can be people, they are very, very kind to other human beings, and they are very, very kind to animals. The animals, they don't use the animals as slaves, and they are vegetarians and so on. But maybe they are unhappy, and maybe they are ill, have sicknesses and so on. And then Martinus says, that's because they've forgotten the third part. And that is not only love to human beings and animals, you should also love your microcosmos. And you can pollute your microcosmos with tobacco and alcohol and unhealthy foods. But maybe even more important is your thoughts. Martinus says the deepest cause to all illness or all sickness is wrong thoughts. And from another general expression, he says, the cause of all sickness is lack of love. Lack of love. And the best cure to all sickness and illness is that is, in a way, pure Christianity or neighborly love. And it sounds strange when Martinus puts Christianity together with your health state. But that is because that Martinus has expanded the notion, your neighbor. Jesus said you should practice neighborly love. And then you think that you should practice neighborly love to other Christians. But on the Crusades, you could fight against the pagans and you could kill the Muslims and other people. So to love your neighbor was only people of your own group. But now you could accept that neighborly love is to love all human beings, but it should also be to love animals and all micro-individuals. For that reason, when you love all living beings, also the micro-individuals, then you are practicing pure Christianity, and then Christianity could also be related to your health state. So, Martinus thought that his analysis, they had a very big importance in relation to a new world culture. There shall be created a new world culture here on earth. And you, when you look upon the news, you can see these, the economical crisis, there are political crises, there are bombing and wars, and there are so many problems out there based on a more or less materialistic world culture or on an egoistic world culture. So it's really necessary that a new world culture is created. And Martinus thinks, actually, that this new world culture has its starting point with the cosmic analysis. So he also once said to the people who listened to his lecture, "You are the new world culture." So I would also like to say to you, you are the new world culture. And all people who sit at home and study the Martinus analysis and are fond of them and try to put them into practice, they are the new world culture. But as I said before, Jesus, he practiced neighborly love, and he, on the cross, there is a prisoner who is trying to escape. But I guess it would also be okay with me if you open some more doors. But on the other hand, maybe it's also... Yeah, I could be afraid that you would start to sleep. Martinus once said that when people are listening to the analysis for the first time, they are using some new centers in the brain. And for that reason, it's a big work to try to listen. And then they very often fall asleep. Martinus said one of the first times when he talked to Gerner Larsson, his first lecturer, he explained a lot of symbols. And there were only the two of them. And then Gerner Larsson fell asleep. And he was so embarrassed, Gerner Larsson. But Martinus, he was very tolerant. I know, but that's because you are using your new cells and your new brain centers. So when people are falling asleep to my lectures, I say to myself, in order to guard my self-confidence, oh, now they are using their higher centers in the brain. But I hope that you won't fall asleep now as you have got some fresh air. So maybe it is this new world culture. Of course, it's based on the Christ culture. Jesus, he could pray for his enemies, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." If all people on planet Earth behaved like Christ, there would be no wars. There would be no economical crisis. We would live in a paradise. So in a way, the big problem is to learn to practice everyday life in the same way as Jesus did. He explained how to do, and he told the truth. But what happened? After 2,000 years, the Christians are the best warriors on planet Earth. I wouldn't say that his preaching and teaching has been wasted, but it's anyway interesting. There is no country here on this planet that can make so good at bombs and missiles and weapons and mass destruction as the Christian countries. So it takes somewhat more. And now it looks as if Christianity has failed. In Denmark, many people think that Christianity is a fiasco. It has failed because there's hardly anybody going to church. But that's because the truth has not been explained scientifically. The truth in all Jesus' preachings has not been explained in a logical way. And that was the task of Martinus, to explain it in a scientific way and into a logical way. In this materialistic and economical world, it is very important to make profit, as big profit as possible. But if you could show scientifically you profit from practicing neighborly love, that would be something that could change the world. You only profit from practicing neighborly love. That would really be something that could change the world. And that is actually the purpose of Martinus' cosmology, to show that it pays to be good. Maybe it sounds a little bit simple just to say it pays to be good. But imagine if all people in a very logical way can understand it pays to be good, because now we are so intelligent, we only do a thing if it pays. And from a one life theory, it looks as if you profit from being egoistic. You only have one life, and I want to be a millionaire or milliardaire in this lifetime, otherwise I'll never be. But if you give... Sometimes I make this joke: if you have a lot of money and believe in reincarnation, how can you transfer all your money to the next reincarnation. Normally, you don't remember the number of your account. And maybe all the lousy inheritance, they have taken all my money and used them before I'm coming back to the physical world again. So how should I transfer the money to the next life? The answer is simple. You should just give away all your money. Give them away so you cannot lose anything when you give it away. And there is, that's my notion, a karma bank. But of course, there is a general karma. And of course, if you give away a lot of money, you will also receive a lot of money. And that is so important to show people. If you sort of steal money, or you abuse people, you exploit people and have a big profit, actually, it is a loss for you, because according to the law of karma, you have got some money that don't belong to you. And according to the law of karma, you will lose them later on. Also, here in Denmark, there has been this economical crisis, and it's very important when you are selling your house. You are owing a house, and then you want to sell it at the highest price as possible. But if you sell your house for a price that is too high, you get some money that is not yours. And according to the law of karma, you will lose them later on. Maybe you sell your house too cheap, and people would say, oh, you're an idiot. You are giving your house away. But if you get too little for your house, then you'll get a good karma. And later on, you will buy a house at a price that is very low. And if you buy it at the right price, you will be able to buy a house at the right price. So from one point of view, it doesn't matter at which price you sell your house, because it's regulated according to the law of karma. And the richest people on earth is the people who are serving other peoples. There are so many people who are dreaming about the big lottery that you can win some, what do I know, 1 billion kroners or 500 million kroners or 30 million kroners, and they're playing on lottery, and they're really hoping to become rich in that way. But if you really want to gain a lot of money from lottery, the best way is just to start to serve your fellow beings. Work as a volunteer, serve and help other people. Then you will get a big amount of money on your karma account. So it's not worth to use all your money on betting and playing and so on. It's not the way to become rich. The richest people are those who are serving others, who are helping others, who are sort of giving away their money. That is the Christ morality. But from a one-life theory, it looks as if you're an idiot if you behave in that way. It takes a scientific analysis. And Martinus makes this scientific analysis. And when people really understand what Jesus did, that was not naive. It was based on the highest form of science. It was based on the highest form of logics. That really can change the world. So for that reason, Martinus, he had to continue the Christ mission. You could say with the crucifixion of Jesus, the Christ mission was initiated. It had begun. But then Martinus is working further on this Christ mission, making it intellectualized. But it did not belong to Old Testament and New Testament to teach love to animals, that you should become a vegetarian. That didn't belong. That about smoking and drinking and love to your organs and your cells, that did not belong to the Old Testament and the New Testament. So that is something that really is new. And talking about the new world morality, that is also new world moral to stop to kill animals. And in the first place, when you stop killing animals, you can still exploit the animals. And it's also not only about eating animals. Martinus is also speaking about animals. They are also working donkeys and horses and so on. They are working almost like machines, like tractors and so on. Actually, many animals are our slaves. And there are also many people who like to go in beautiful furs. You have to kill an enormous amount of small animals. They only live in small cages in order to be killed, in order to be turned into beautiful furs. And Martinus says that will also have its karma. And many people, they stop to eat meat. And that is a very, very big step. But there are even people who start to become vegans. And that means they stop to eat eggs and they stop to drink milk and eat cheese and so on. But it is very important to stop to eat the corpses of the animals. And Martinus, to his time, he was drinking milk and eating cheese and so on. But if we are drinking milk and eating cheese, the animals are still our slaves because they are kept in prisons on the farms and they have a poor life. And when a cow don't give any milk, it is killed. When a hen don't give any eggs, it is killed. And all the roosters that don't give eggs, they are also killed. So in a way, you are sort of supporting this industry of slaughtery when you are drinking milk and eggs. So there are many different ways of making animals our slaves. There was one a friend of Martinus who worked. He just said, if you asked him, why are you a vegan? I don't want the animals to be my slaves. And I respected him very much for that saying. And I think it's so simple just to say, I don't want the animals to be my slaves. And that was not included. That was not included in the New Testament. That was not included in the teachings of Jesus. And then also the love to microcosmos was also not included. And I have also talked about that we can take many toxic substances, bad nutrition, too much medicine, too much alcohol, narcotics, and tobacco, and so there's a lot of ways to pollute our micro-individuals. It is terrible to work in a chemical factory if you have to stay there 8 hours each day and you have to breathe air with toxic compounds for many, many years. At the end, you become sick, you develop a cancer. So it's really a hard fate that you sort of have been forced to live, to work in a toxic environment. There are also many servants and waitresses who are working in rooms where people are smoking, and they are working there year after year after year. It's very hard, but you cannot avoid breathing the air, and when you are in toxic, it can also be people living in Mexico City or Cairo where there is so much car pollution and smog and so on. What shall you do if you live in the time? You have to breathe the air. You cannot avoid the toxic compounds. But in the same way, when you are smoking, the cells in your lungs cannot avoid the toxic compound because you are putting these toxic compounds. So that is also a kind of neighborly love that was not included in the New Testament. So that also belongs to the New World morality. And it's interesting to see, just historically seen, Martinus wrote the Book of Life, Volume 1. That was the very first book he wrote, and that was a very nice introduction to his whole work. And then next, he started to write the book, The Ideal Food, and then he wrote the book about funeral, Sepulchres. And these two books are two small main works on the theme, love to microcosmos. He was very eager. He came here with his cosmic consciousness, and he should teach the humanity. And then he, in the first place, felt this is very important to teach people about love to animals and teach them love to microcosmos. But this book about funeral rites, he also writes something totally new for human beings. And Martinus said that with his cosmic consciousness, he could observe that when we die, the soul withdraws it from the body, and then we have a corpse. There is no soul, and when we stop to breathe, when the heart stops to beat, we don't breathe any longer, there is no blood circulation, the organs and the cells don't get any oxygen anymore, which means that the body, the organs, and the cells will die at the same time. Within a few hours, all organ cells are dead. But then Martinus said, with his cosmic consciousness, he could observe there is still an aura of life around the corpse. There is still an astral radiation around, because Martinus speaks about spiral cycles, which goes down into microcosmos for eternity. And Martinus thinks that molecules are living beings, maybe even macromolecules or organelles in the cells, atoms, electrons, but it don't stop there. For physical science, for the physical senses, it stops with elementary particles like electrons and quarks and so on, but it goes on for infinity. And then Martinus can say, there is some life in the corpse, and it should be protected. But many people are burning, want their corpse to be burned when they're dead, to be cremated. But then Martinus says, you are killing living animal life units. There are some, in a way, human beings down in microcosmos that are burned. Some 600 years ago, we had the Inquisition in the Catholic Church. They burned a lot of witches. And now and then you see a movie when you see a living human being being burned alive on the fire. And it's terrible to see. But if we are burning our body, our corpse, it's not only one micro individual that is burned like this witch. There are millions and billions and billions. So it's a huge act of violence to let your body be cremated or burned. So Martinus, he strongly recommends that we don't let our corpse be burned. Normal people can't understand it, but the argument is the corpse is not dead. The body, the organs, and the cells are dead. But under the level of cells, there are still animal life. There's still human life, and that should be protected. And he also writes about it. It's not the biggest sin in the world, but he is talking about candlelights and burning candlelights. Sometimes you make candlelights from animal fat. And then with his cosmic consciousness, Martinus can see there is still animals in the fat on a molecule level. So for that reason, you shouldn't burn candles made on animal fats. But he said, if you take the oil from the earth oil has once been plants. There were huge forests in prehistoric times, and it was pressed and pressed together, and it was turned into oil and coal. And then Martinus said, then it became mineralized. There is no vegetable life units in earth oil. There is no vegetables. There is no living vegetable molecules in oil. It has totally been mineralized. And for that reason, it's better to burn candlelights, which has been produced from earth oil. And I guess nowadays more and more lights are made from earth oil. But it's difficult to know, what about this candle and this candle? So in the end, you should ask the factory what, or you should read the what on which basis it has been produced. But then we come to the next thing. That is that Martinus think it's not ideal either to let the corpse rotten in the earth. If you are not burned, normally you're put into a coffin and put into the earth, and then the body will rotten. But that means that it will be eaten by bacteria. Sometimes we say that you burn the food, I don't know in English, maybe you say you burn the food or combust. We have a digestion and a metabolism. And in that, the organic molecules are turned into water and carbon dioxide. If you take some wood and burn it, it's turned into water and carbon dioxide. So in a way, we are burning organic material into water and carbon dioxide when we are eating it. But if the corpse is being eaten by bacteria, then it is burned, not by physical fire, but it's burned very slowly. But that is almost just as bad, because all the living molecules in the corpse, they will be killed by this. In the United States, they have a lot of trials and they go to court, and there are a lot of murders and so on in the United States. And rather often, they have a new trial, and then they go to the churchyard and dig up the corpse. And normally they are rotten. But now and then they can take a corpse. It is 4 or 6 weeks old, maybe 2 months. And they see that this corpse is very well preserved. But if this person was treated by antibiotics before death, the body is very good conserved. So in a way, it would be good to be embalmed with antibiotics. That would be very ideal. But it's also interesting with the old Egyptians. They were also embalming the corpses. And we don't have bacteria in our inner, in our internal organs. We have an opening from mouth to through the intestine. But in a way, it is an outer surface. We have so many bacteria in colon or in the intestine. But they are not really, if we have bacteria in the blood, in the organs, we die very, very soon. So the idea is just to stop the bacteria to eat the corpse. Now we don't have embalming institutes, but in the future we will have embalming institutes, and that will belong to the new world culture, and actually also will belong to the new world morality. Martinez says, in the future, it will be a big topic. It will be a big topic in the future to concentrate on how can we, in the best possible way, practice neighborly love to our microcosmos. Nowadays in Denmark, there are some people who are having their colon or their intestines cleansed by water. There are some colon institutes where you alive can have your colon cleansed with water. But in the future, that is also possible to do that with corpses. So you can remove all the bacteria. Maybe you cannot do it really effectively, but that would be good, because the point of embalming is just to stop the bacteria, to remove the bacteria. If you could remove all bacteria from the intestines and from the outer surfaces, the body wouldn't rotten. But now there are so many resistant bacteria, so you are not allowed to use antibiotics in the embalming process. Then you use formaldehyde, and people are normally making big protests. Oh, that's toxic. But you dilute it with water, and then it is pumped into the blood circulation system, some 10 liters. But the idea with embalming with formaldehyde, that is just that formaldehyde works as a broad-spectrum antibiotic. The meaning with formaldehyde is just to stop the bacteria. And formaldehyde is toxic to my body, to my organs, and to my cells. But formaldehyde is not toxic to sugars, to carbohydrate, to fats, and so on. So on a molecular level, formaldehyde is not toxic to others. It can add to some free amino groups in the proteins. What is happening? No? No. So I'm just arguing for the fact that that between two evils, you should choose the lesser evil. Formaldehyde is not a good solution, but it is better than a rotten corpse. If you go into a natural zoological museum or you come to anatomical study rooms, it's nice to see that the different organs and animals, they are put into alcohol, ethanol, or they are put into formaldehyde. Many Danes, they are very negative to formaldehyde. So I guess if we could put the corpse into alcohol, maybe they would be more positive to the embalming. Because alcohol is also an antiseptic. But that was just to mention that that is also a thing that belongs to the new world morality, that belongs to the new world culture. And in school also, children will be taught to think in the right way. We also torture our microcosmos through bad thoughts. If you are very aggressive, choleric, angry, and so on, Martina says these thoughts have a special influence on heart and the blood circulation system. Then you can get diseases with blood circulation and the heart. He says if you are very stressed and very nervous and so on, these kind of thoughts can have an effect on the stomach. I've had a stomach operation myself, for I have had an appendicitis. For 3 days, I went around with a bursted appendicitis. Because from that part in Jutland where I come, we don't go to doctor just because it hurts a little bit in the stomach. So last year, I almost died. And later on, I had a hernia in the operation scar. So I just want to say I'm not a hero or a saint. But my own experiences with these illnesses is that they have changed me. I have become more lovable. I've got more feelings. I really feel in my relation to other people that I feel more for people. And sometimes I'm starting to cry where I wouldn't have cried before. So one of my problems is also that I'm too stressed and too nervous. And that kind of thought has an effect on the stomach. And there is also scientific analysis who shows if you have an anger that turns inward, You are disappointed, you are envious, you are jealous, and you feel as a martyr, you feel that you've been treated in an unjust way, and so on. Many of these feelings that turns inward also can be the cause of different cancer diseases. And Martinus says, if we have the right thoughts, we are happy about life, we are grateful, we can say everything is very good, but it's not pleasant. I have an illness, I'm sick, I've got problems, but I know that is why a loving God is turning me into a Christ being. And I'm grateful for all my problems and all my teaching because it helps me. This gives very light thoughts. If you are humorous, you are happy, you are grateful, there is no greater risk that you will become ill. And of course, that would also be something very important in the future. Also, even in schools, Martina says, small children will be taught how to have the right wishes. You can wish to become a millionaire, you can wish to become number one, you can wish to become a world champion. And in that way, life will be a battlefield. You are competing with others about being number one. You're competing, having most money and so on. So life will be a terrible competing. But then, even in schools, they can be taught wishing in the right way. They can be taught in having the right thoughts. So that is a very, very big thing in the future to concentrate on how can I, in the best possible way, treat my microcosmos. So that did not belong to the teaching of Christ of the New Testament. But in principle, it is the same teaching as Jesus said, love your neighbor. We should just understand that we also have neighbors in microcosmos. Another thing that also belongs to the new world moral and to the new world culture, that is that we also shall have a world language. Once Latin was the international language, but how did Latin become an international language? Because the Romans were the best warriors. So the Latin language was known because of the power of the sword. And also, Spanish is a world language. How did it become a world language? Also because the Spains were good at using the sword. And they So all imperialists, you could also, the Englishmen, the Americans, they are the biggest warriors. They have the best weapons. So then they are also imperialistic countries. For that reason, English has turned into a world language. So it's quite interesting. And that is not a good world morality. In the future, we shall have a language that is based on idealism. Martinus say no single national language will become world language. And Martinus means it will go so far that we will have one world government and all people on earth will talk the same language. And then all national languages will disappear from itself. Everything that has to do with interpretation will disappear. Look at these poor people in room number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They have to work hard for 1 hour. That would not be necessary if we had an international world language. And a national language will not become world language for two reasons. It is a partial solution. It is an advantage for Americans and English speaking people, if English became a world language. They can teach English, they can write documents, they can translate, they can read books. There is a lot of advantages for America and England for if English was world language. And for another reason, all national languages are imperfect. They are illogical. So the world language should be an impartial language, and it shall be a logical and a mathematical language. So that language, the world language, will be Esperanto. It's a planned language, and it is a perfect language because it is so logical. And it is now Esperanto is spreading very, very slowly. It was introduced in 1887. That means before Martinus published his first book in 1932, Esperanto had been known for 40 years. But it also grows just as slow as Martinus. But the rate of growth don't show if it is of high quality or not. I mean, it doesn't matter that the cosmology is not known worldwide because the books are written. The cosmic science is there. And also Esperanto is there. And in volume 3 of Livets Bog, Martinus writes that the numbers, the system of our numbers are perfect. You cannot improve the number system. It's perfect. And he writes in the same way, the language will reach the same level as the numbers has done. And then he has that it should be mathematical and logical as the number system. And Esperanto is such a language. So in a way, that also belongs to a new world culture. And for that reason, the official international language of the Martinus Institute is Esperanto. And we are also teaching a little bit Esperanto. So you could say, in a way, through our restaurant Terrassen, we are doing something for vegetarians. And also with our teaching Esperanto, we are also doing something to create a new world culture. But in a way, the biggest contribution we can do to a new world culture is to start to practice it yourself. Martinus said, don't try to change the world. Change yourself. But normally people say, I am a peace worker. I'm making demonstrations for peace. I'm working for peace. And they are going out and doing a lot of things. You shouldn't make atomic bombs. Stop to make missiles. And people are working for peace and trying to convert other people. They are trying to change other people. That's really difficult. You cannot change another man. But you can change yourself. So it's not that optimal just to try to change the world. Change yourself. And what is most important, your biggest contribution to peace on earth, that is to turn yourself into a peace cell and to act just like Christ. If two men each have a gun, we shall all come to that point that one says, I don't want to shoot you. If one of the two of us is going to be shot, please shoot me. Everybody shall come to this point as Christ. So the biggest problem for mankind now is that they think, I have the right to defend myself. I have the right. And then we have this arms race. that you have to have a strong national army. It's one of the very biggest problems on planet Earth. You should try to start to forgive your enemies and those who irritate you. So the biggest contribution you can do to the world peace, turn yourself into a peace cell according to the principles of Christ or according to the cosmical analysis. In the bottom, Martinus cosmology is a moral teaching. What Martinus wants, that is to contribute to a permanent peace on earth. And he has written his works in order to inspire people to practice a higher moral. And for that reason, he has continued the mission of Jesus Christ, making a science out of Christianity, made an intellectualized Christianity. And for that reason, Martinus decided at the end of his work to call his work the Third Testament. And actually, he said, there are so many prophecies in the Bible about the second coming of Christ. And Jesus said he wouldn't come as a person, but as the Holy Spirit, the spokesman, or what is it called? The talisman, the spokesman, the Holy Spirit. And the comforter, the Holy Spirit. And Martinus clearly said, the spiritual science, that is the Holy Spirit. And the second coming of Christ is incarnated in the Third Testament. And in that way, in a way, Martinus also declared himself as a world teacher. He decided at the end of his life to call his work the Third Testament. But at the very first time, he felt very close related to Christ. Maybe you, most of you know his little book, To the Birth of My Mission, where he writes about his very first initiation. He saw a Christ figure in the distance as a sculpture. It became alive. It went into his body. He saw a light beam from the Christ figure, from himself, and he saw planet Earth turning around in this light beam. And then he understood that his mission was to become a world teacher. And he understood that he should continue the Christ mission and making it into a science. And for that reason, maybe it's not so impressive that at the end of his life, he decided to call it the Third Testament. Thank you for your attention.